Hello, everyone. Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're on What is the World and Lesson 243. Annette started us off yesterday. That means it's my turn. The world is false perception. It is born of error, and it has not left its source. It will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. When the thought of separation has been changed to one of true forgiveness, will the world be seen in quite another light, in one that leads to truth, where all the world must disappear and all its errors vanish? Now its source is gone, and its effects are gone as well.
The world was made as an attack on God. It symbolizes fear. And what is fear except love's absence? Thus, the world was meant to be a place where God could not enter and where his son could be apart from him. Here was perception born, for knowledge could not cause such insane thoughts. But eyes deceive and ears hear falsely. Now mistakes become quite possible, for certainty has gone.
The mechanisms of illusion have been born instead, and now they go to find what has been given them to seek. Their aim is to fulfill the purpose which the world was made to witness and make real. They see in its illusions but a solid base where truth exists, upheld apart from lies. Yet everything which they report is but illusion, which is kept apart from truth.
As sight was made to lead away from truth, it can be redirected. Sounds become the call of God, and all perception can be given a new purpose by the one whom God appointed Savior to the world. Follow his light and see the world as he beholds it. Hear his voice alone in all that speaks to you, and let him give you peace and certainty, which you have thrown away, but heaven has preserved for you in him.
Let us not rest content until the world has joined our changed perception. Let us not be satisfied until forgiveness has been made complete. And let us not attempt to change our function. We must save the world. For we who made it must behold it through the eyes of Christ, that what was made to die can be restored to everlasting life. What is the world?
Okay, so we have really concentrated on paragraph one, which we want to go through these what is sections very thoroughly because they just really, they're the course. Mm-hmm. And so let's go through paragraph one and kind of see where maybe we have missed something or something that comes up that we want to bring out.
Okay.
And then we can go on to paragraph two. So the world is false perception. So you really helped us with that, where there is the world and it's the egoic world. It's from the ego thought system, and it's false because we're in the world. We have forgotten who we truly are. And there's true perception, right-mindedness, right perception in the course. All of those phrases are synonymous. Mm-hmm. And then false perception is wrong-mindedness, not seeing ourselves as who we truly are. So, okay, so we got that. It is born of error and it has not left its source. So it was born in the ego thought system and it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That false perception, we are not as God created us to be, is still there. And that's why we struggle all of our life.
Yep.
Try to find meaning, try to find belonging, trying to find connection, and try to find our sense of self-worth, but we're looking for it all out there in this ego thought system that's filled with fear and not love. So that's that. It will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. So that's something that I wanted us to talk about because I have had this experience in my life as I let go of a lot of these perceptions that have not served me at all. I mean, maybe they served me at one time, but they're not really serving me now. I really do hold on to them much longer than I need to. I mean, I guess you could say the timing is perfect. And at the same time, I see like, wow, I was really holding on. I was really holding on because I was afraid to let go and just let love in. And that sounds like, really? Why would you be afraid to let love in? And yet that has been my experience, to let go of even what you could call an idol, something in the ego thought system that I think is keeping me safe. It's very hard for me to let go and allow love to come in. So that's where, in that line, it will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. We do, as a sonship, all kind of have this experience of, okay, if we really let love in, what would it look like? You know, that's where they get sayings like, well, the devil you know is better than the devil that you don't know. It's that, right?
Mm-hmm. This sentence makes me think of, so the other day I was helping you wash your dogs. And we had washed one of them and we're getting a towel to dry her off. And then you said, oh, wow, this is hot. Because, you know, the sun is shining and it heated up in the sun. And then I thought you were talking about the towel.
Oh, that's right.
But then you actually were talking about your sandals.
That had been sitting in the sun.
Exactly. And so we got lost in translation, two shifts passing in the night, because I thought you were talking about the towel, but you weren't. And that's the moment I realized you were talking about your sandals, because I said, we were saying stuff that didn't line up for towel. I wasn't saying stuff that lined up for flip-flops. And that's where it's like, oh, she's talking about her flip-flops. Then all the thinking that I had about the towel being too hot just vanished. Because like, oh, okay, I didn't understand, and now I do. That's the process we're going through, even with the story we have about ourselves. That illusion, that illusionary story that we have about ourselves is the exact same thing. We think we're talking about a body when we talk about ourselves. We think we're talking about this ego self that does suffer. We think we're talking about all this junk here and nonsense here on planet Earth that in a lot of ways doesn't serve us and it's hurtful. Well, on a sonship soul level, okay, so I'm going to back up here, because the sonship thinks that if it punishes itself enough, God will not punish it. We're so naughty for believing we could separate from God and trying to separate from God that we're out here trying to punish ourselves as a collective, not on an individual level, but just as a collective, as the whole sonship, that we say, okay, if I punish ourselves enough, really make ourselves suffer, then the moment God finds us, he's going to say, well, you've suffered enough. I don't need to do anything. You did it yourself. Kind of like remember on the Wizard of Oz, where Toto bit the lady who's supposed to be ends up being the Wicked Witch. And then Dorothy says, oh, I'll send myself to bed without supper. Like, oh, I'll punish myself so you don't have to punish me through like taking Toto away. It's that same idea where we think, as on the soul level, we think, oh, as long as I've punished myself enough, as long as we've punished ourselves enough, there won't be any punishment necessary from God. And so we keep cherishing this thought of separation. We keep cherishing this thought of having to punish ourselves. And the moment we can really see, God's not really going to punish us. Not at all. God is loving us into love.
God is saying, I love you, come home.
I love you, come home. Exactly. Just like in the story in the Bible of the prodigal son, the father in that story isn't there like when the son shows up, realizes, oh, I'm eating pig slop here, is way better at dad's house than this. The dad doesn't say, what are you doing here? I hate you. You know, you just took all your inheritance and left. I want nothing to do with you. The dad doesn't say that. He says, you know, I'm going to make a feast. I'm going to kill my best calf or whatever. And really have, I'm so happy his son is home. To me, that's a great biblical story of what A Course in Miracles is about, where we think there's going to be some punishment because the son says, oh, I'll be your servant. I'll really make my life horrible. Just let me come home, dad. And the dad's like, no, I'm not doing that. And that's how God sees us. Like, we think there needs to be some punishment involved in order, like some retribution in order to cleanse our souls. And that's not necessary. And so the more we as the collectives, the more we as the sonship can let go of this idea that on a soul level, we have to really just do some damage here, really punish ourselves. When we stop cherishing that thought and we say, we don't need that anymore, that's when love can really come in.
I love everything you just shared. I mean, that really brought it to life. And I'm wondering, I know it's time to get on to the lesson. I'm wondering why it's so hard to let go, to stop cherishing the thought. I guess that's what comes up for me. Like, why is it so hard to believe that God does not forgive because he's never condemned? That's what comes up for me. And I know that. I know that experience of just holding on. So let's explore that maybe tomorrow. We can think about it. But today we have lesson 243. Today I will judge nothing that occurs. I will be honest with myself today. I will not think that I already know what must remain beyond my present grasp. I will not think I understand the whole from bits of my perception, which are all that I can see. Today, I recognize that this is so, and so I am relieved of judgments which I cannot make. Thus do I free myself and what I look upon to be in peace as God created us.
Father, today I leave creation free to be itself. I honor all its parts in which I am included. We are one because each part contains your memory, and truth must shine in all of us as one.
So what comes up for me just based on our little discussion is, today I will be honest with myself. So when I'm being honest with myself, what I go to is that I have really created, I'm getting more and more aware of them, but I have really created a lot of judgments about myself that really were not true. And these judgments about myself, actually, I've projected them onto others. And also, it really did kind of skew my perception of the truth, because I'm making up all these stories about me and about others. And then I can't see any of us as who we truly are.
Do you have an example you'd be willing to share?
Well, this is kind of an embarrassing one, but I guess I could share.
You don't have to embarrass yourself.
Well, I'll share. It's simple. Okay. It's a simple one, and maybe it's kind of embarrassing. So I've always had longer hair. And this summer, I just needed something new. I wanted to cut my hair. And I cut it a little bit, and I got good feedback. So I thought, okay, it must be okay. Like, I couldn't, I wanted to cut my hair, but then my experience of my hair was like, well, will other people think it's okay that I cut my hair? Like, not just being
like, so you had to get, okay,
outward validation is,
yeah,
what
I was going to say approval, but I knew that wasn't the right word. You weren't really comfortable with your hair being shorter until there was that validation that other people thought it looked fine.
Yes. And so I received good feedback, and then I thought, oh, well, if they like it this short, actually I wanted it short. Like, I wanted to have short hair because I haven't had short hair in so long. So then I cut it again. I mean, like 4 weeks later, I said, okay, I need it cut shorter. So then it's been a kind of a fun experience just seeing how much I go by other people's opinion of me. That affects how I feel about myself. So then the first day when I went to work and I had my short haircut, I felt ugly. I just have to say, I just felt like, ugh. Even though I liked having short hair, I also felt ugly until the first person said, "Oh, I love your hair." And then I thought, oh, okay, maybe it's all right then. And my false perception of myself is just like right there. And I'm completely in the ego thought system because how I think about myself is based on other people's opinion of my hair. And I know that sounds like a very simplistic idea, but I think we do this a lot. You know, other people, do they think we're making enough money? Do they think that we've been as successful enough? Have we gone? Do we have the right college degree? Or maybe you're in a group that college is kind of frowned upon. And so do you have the right trade? I mean, you know, this is just how we live our lives. And then we can't really be honest with ourselves. I will be honest with myself today. I will not judge. I will judge nothing that occurs, right? Well, if I'm just like totally into, you know, if somebody's judging my hair, if somebody's judging my education, if somebody's judging my job, if somebody's judging where I live, I can't even be honest.
And while that seems like such a, oh, like it's about hair, it's not like a major example, how we perceive ourselves and our appearance can take over our whole lives.
Oh yes, we have clients, you know, if they think they're a little too heavy, they're going to show up one way. If they think that they're, you know, even too tall, you know, that's
you
like
stare into my eyes when you say that. Yes.
Well,
cuz I felt that way about my height.
And then they if you think you're too tall, well then you kind of we've had folks that come and they're kind of all hunched over. And they don't want to just be their tall self.
Yeah, that's how I have felt because I am tall. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time just to really accept it. And mm-hmm. just, you know, this is who I am. It's actually quite nice. People ask me to help them get stuff off the shelf at the grocery store. And then it's like, well, you know, yeah. If I wasn't here, they couldn't get it.
Right.
And so it's really nice. I just can reach there and go, oop, here you go. And they say thank you. And so it's like what has been... I've judged myself about my height also has been very helpful to others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that's where I think what we're talking about here. I will be honest with myself today. I will not think that I already know what must remain beyond my present grasp. Like, you know, maybe as you've gotten older, your height, you've come to peace with it. I mean, even this experience of my haircut, I thought, whoa, it showed me that my ego is pretty fragile. I mean, you know, just full disclosure here, you know, because if someone would have said, why did you cut your hair?
Oh, would that have just like destroyed you?
I would have wanted to stay home from work.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, yes, because I wouldn't really feel like I could put my whole self there because I was getting all this negative judgment.
So let me clarify. So you got your hair cut and then you got your hair cut again.
Maybe we shouldn't share all this in the podcast. No.
It's a great example because how often does this happen where we get a new outfit or we get a new haircut and then we're like so unsure, okay, do I look okay?
We think we're okay and then someone says you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where mental toughness comes in.
Right. And understanding that we don't understand the whole picture right now. Mm. I will not think I understand the whole from bits of my perception, which are all that I can see.
Yeah.
And so like I didn't even understand the importance of this haircut until, you know, it was last week where I realized, wow, you know, since I received quote unquote positive feedback, I'm okay with the haircut. And then I had to say, well, I I wanted to get my hair cut. Actually, if no one in the world liked my haircut, if I wanted it, that's what's important, right? That's the being honest.
Exactly. And that's what A Course in Miracles is all about, is whether it's like a haircut or just who we are and who we know ourselves to be, not letting the opinions of the world or us having to seek outside validation to say, yes, that's true. Because if we can say, I'm not a body, I am free forever as God created me, we will find someone that says, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And if we wait for that validation, then we're going to be waiting forever. And so it's that mental toughness comes in, because we have to know the truth of who we are, regardless of what the noise of the world says. And it can also come in the form of knowing you love your haircut, mm-hmm. regardless of someone could come in and say, mm-hmm. that's the ugliest haircut I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then you being able to say, well, I like it.
You're right. Right, exactly.
But these are the lessons that we can learn through these experiences.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're beautiful lessons.
They are. So that's our lesson for today, lesson 243. Today, I will judge nothing that occurs. See you tomorrow.
See you then.